Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So, just a few days ago, we celebrated Christmas Eve, and we heard Luke's narrative about Jesus' birth. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And then we got that rundown of Joseph's lineage because Joseph was descended from the house and family of David. And then we got that list of events leading up to the actual birth, you know, lying in a manger, shepherds visiting, angels singing. Then today, we just heard how after the Magi finished that visit, they were warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, but rather to head east via a different route. And Joseph is also warned in a dream to hightail it out of town all the way west to North Africa into Egypt. Upon hearing that the Magi have avoided him, Herod does this very politically savvy move. He orders all of the children in and around Bethlehem, age 2 and younger, to be executed. Wait, what? I think it's more like Herod goes into a psychotic political dystopian mode and butchers innocent toddlers because he's an egotistical, paranoid, despot, rear half of a donkey. And all of this comes immediately after we have just finished with the big warm fuzzies of December 25th. This butchery and bloodshed in Bethlehem follows Silent Night, What Child Is This, and Angels We Have Heard on High. We are way within our bounds of normality to ask what this tale of death, destruction, and massacre is doing in Scripture, let alone this close to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. I don't mean to be simplistic, and I don't want to sound like I'm trying to trivialize this story or any images or memories that hearing this passage might bring to mind. Excuse me. Part of the reason that this story is in Scripture is to help us to understand that we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world where babies die, where people are murdered, where honest people lose their homes while those who are far from honest thrive. We live in a world where people get sick, sometimes terminally. We live in a world where neighbor will attack neighbor over real or perceived slights, or because their skin is a different color, or because they speak our language with an accent that betrays the fact that they learned another language first. We live in a world where there are way too many of us who believe that there are only two ways of looking at things. There's my way, and there's the wrong way. And those who are stupid enough to think the wrong way, they need to be belittled and made fun of and preferably destroyed publicly and humiliatingly as possible in order to show the rest of the world just how right I am in my point of view and how wrong they are. And if showing the world means that I send troops to a little out-of-the-way backwater burg to slaughter a bunch of toddlers that no one other than their pathetic parents are going to miss, then I do it because that's what makes me right and everybody else wrong. That's the kind of a world that we are living in. And that, brothers and sisters, is a very lousy way to live. There are stories like this in Scripture. This one of Herod ordering the deaths of children. Because things like this happen all the time. Kalamazoo, Michigan Uber shootings of February 2016. Las Vegas Harvest Music Festival, October 2017. Santa Fe High School, May 2018. El Paso El Paso, Texas, Walmart shootings in August of this year. Just yesterday, car bombings in Mogadishu. There are other tragedies. Like, I don't know if you heard, but right before Christmas, there were three family members that drowned, a father, son, and daughter. The two men were trying to save the girl from drowning. This happened 2 days before Christmas. We just last week had a typhoon that killed at least 13 people down in the Philippines, and we just... I don't want to use the word celebrated, but we had the anniversary of the Indian Ocean tsunami of December 2004, and we can keep going. And people will question, why does God do these things? To which I really have to answer, God doesn't. God did not cause a man to hate so much that he shot people as they were going into worship in New Zealand. God didn't cause an underwater earthquake in order to induce a wave of gigantic proportions that's attributed to over 230,000 deaths. Some of these things are natural. A whole lot of them are human caused, because bad things happen. Death happens. Pain happens. And in all of that pain and hurt and suffering, we need to remember, especially those of us who are marked by the waters of our baptism, we know that God chose to walk this world with us. We know that God loved us so much as to become one of these finite, limited bags of flesh and bone. God is right here, walking with us. God doesn't cause the pain and sorrow and hurt, yet God knows what it is to weep and grieve and suffer. There are wonderful passages in Scripture, passages that talk about joy and grace, peace and hope. And there are passages like what we heard today. And they help to remind us that Scripture is still relevant to 21st century North Americans. Because this passage, as painful as it is to hear, also reminds us that no matter what, God remains with us. This passage reminds us that no matter what, God brings us hope. Now, maybe you missed it, because I have, in all of the times that I have read this passage, and it took a commentary that I read just this past week to show me that. So we heard about God sending the family to Egypt. You might remember that God had sent Jacob and his family to Egypt centuries ago to avoid death by famine. And then God called Jacob and called Jacob's descendants out of Egypt back to safety and prosperity and faith. Moses led them to Palestine, just like God called Jesus out of Egypt, in order to lead the descendants not only of Jacob, but the descendants of all humanity to safety and prosperity and faith in the cross. Jesus, the Savior, born in Bethlehem, came out of Egypt, was despised from Nazareth, and still was the Savior of us all. And Jesus knows how full of pain our lives can be. He was born to take on that pain himself. He came to tell us that we are loved. He came to tell us that we are forgiven. He lived in order to tell us that we don't have to hold on to that pain all by ourselves. Sisters and brothers, let him walk with you when your life is too full of pain. Amen.